Okay, therefore, the Lord. There we go. All right, there we go. If you lose it, just quit playing. We'll do it Acapulco. All right, here we go. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Good. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. All right, you did good. I spring stuff on Mrs. Noble every now and then. Thank you, ma'am. And I think she can do anything in any key. But I appreciate her putting up with me, you know. I really do. Take your Bible tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You'll never guess after the song service what I'm going to preach on tonight, okay? If you've been paying attention at all, you've got it down. This is the same text I used last Sunday morning, all right? Same text, verse, but I'm going to preach on the other part of the verse tonight, all right? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. The Bible says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Hey, I want to preach tonight on the subject of till the trumpet sounds, keep on singing. Keep on singing, all right? I said today, it's a discouraging day in which we live. I believe there's a lot of God's people are discouraged, you know, and we're almost like the Israelites were in the book of Psalms when they said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" You know? Hey, I'll tell you, until the trumpet sounds, we just need to keep on singing. Keep on singing, if you will. I believe God gave a lot of people the ability to sing. Oh, not an operatic voice or anything like that. But I mean, hey, you can sing. You can sing. You can carry a tune, you know. Brother Dunbar says he can't sing. But if it's a song he knows real well,
yes, sir,
he can do it, all right? Because he and I sang "Jesus Loves Me" a few years ago at the Thanksgiving service, and everybody said we were thankful when y'all quit singing too. But no, he did fine, all right? And so he really can, and I've noticed in every talent contest, there's singers. Every talent contest. Well-known TV show that's on from time, America's Got Talent. And I think there's a British version. There may be a Puerto Rican version. I don't know. But there's a lot of those. But on those shows, there's always a good number of folks who sing. And they can sing, all right? It's one thing to sing with the Spirit. It's another thing to sing with understanding. But when you can sing with both, that's the best. That's the best. Some people, for instance, put a lot of spirit into singing, enthusiasm, if you will, all right? They do, but it's not necessarily good singing. Good singing. But I'll be honest with you, usually if somebody puts a lot of spirit into it, I like it. I like it. You know, if they're saying, I've told you about the young man years ago, I was in a service, he was a young man, mentally challenged, as we say today, and he could not stay in tune, he could not stay up in the song. So what he would do is every now and then he'd just hit a word. I mean, you know, every now and then he'd just hit a word. Now, I'll be honest, I pretty much quit singing just listening to him. It was off key, but man, the enthusiasm was there. And I thought, what a blessing. I personally enjoyed it, all right? Then we think about understanding. Understanding, I believe, puts depth. It puts life. It puts meaning into that which is sung, all right? Now, a lot of people try to fake that in singing, especially in popular singing, you know. They try to fake it. But I'll be honest, the best singing is when the Holy Spirit of God gives the song and the singer understands life from the biblical perspective. That's why, hey, I love to hear Brother Lester Roloff sing. I never thought he had a good voice as far as, you know, super quality, but he could sing harmony. But I just love to hear him sing, all right? Love to hear him sing. I listen to somebody sing, and I like it when I can feel like, hey, that person knows who they're singing about. They know who they're singing about. But can I say it to you? That's the kind of singing this world needs to hear. And that's the kind we are to do, okay? We are to do. I know a multitude of songs, some not worth singing. I don't know why, but I've retained a lot of them. They're there, and now sometimes I have to look deep into the file to find it, okay? But I was probably 20 and 30-year-old kid. I learned every goofy song you could come across. Songs like "May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose," all right? Now, that's a cultural statement, okay? A cultural statement. "Too Old to Cut the Mustard," all right? I learned that song long before I was too old to cut the mustard, all right? But I learned that song and I picked it up. I wish I'd have put more time into learning that great historic classic, "Take a Cold Tater and Wait," all right? But I didn't, all right? Didn't, but I've heard it, but I could go on and on about that. But that's not the best stuff we need to sing, all right? But I believe with all my heart as a child of God, till the trumpet sounds, we're to keep singing. Amen. We're to keep singing. Why? Because we have a reason to sing. Hey, we've got a reason to sing. Now, there's a lot of reasons to sing. Most songs, in some sense, express emotion. Some type of emotion. The true Negro spirituals expressed a hope for better times. And, boy, they had some, for lack of a better word, they had some soul in them. Now, folks, I'm not talking about the soul singing of the 60s, 70s. I'm talking about the true spirituals that were sung years ago, all right? But they really had some hope. Oftentimes it is sadness and sorrow that are expressed in song, and they come from a broken heart that's been broken. I'll be honest, I believe lust is the theme of much what passes for singing today, much of it. Then on the other hand, joy and happiness is the theme of so many songs. And that's where it comes in for you and me, all right? That's where it really comes in for you and me. Nobody has more to be joyful about. Nobody has more to be happy about than the child of God. Just think about it. Our transgressions are covered. Our transgressions are covered. Would you let me say it this way? The past is sealed. Our present is satisfying. And the future is secure, man. What better? We've got a reason to sing, all right? We've got a reason to sing. You say, oh, preacher, wait a minute. The stuff is going on today. I know that, but why do we let it get us so much? Why do we let it affect us so much? I hope you have your Bible. We're going to turn to a lot of scripture. Take your Bible. The Bible has a lot to say. Go to Psalms, the 13th Psalm. Bible has tons of things to say about singing. Now, you can rest assured we're not going to cover all of it tonight. We don't have time, all right? But we've got so much to sing about. In your worst day, in the worst time you're having, just back up a second and think about what you've got to sing about. Psalm 13, verse 6, he said, "I will sing unto the Lord." Why? Because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Oh, hadn't he done that for you? Hasn't he done that for you? Man, he's just opened up heaven and poured the blessings out on us, all right? Camp meeting preacher talks about getting under the spout where the glory comes out, all right? Hey, you're to live there, all right? Why, the Lord's dealt bountifully with me. Boy, he hadn't given me what I deserve. Man, so much above that, so much better than that, and he's just poured out blessing after blessing. I've got four long limbs, and they all work relatively good. What a blessing. What a blessing. I've got 10 fingers, and I can still point with all of them, all right? And they all work. What a good thing. I've got 2 ears, and they still work. Still work. Man, I can hear. I can see. My tongue works. I'm able to taste. My wife went through the COVID deal, and she was one that lost her sense of smell and taste. Man, I'm glad I didn't lose that. I didn't feel like eating a whole lot, but when I did, I sure did like it to taste good, you know. I'm glad God's blessed us. He's been dealt bountifully with me. Why? We got a reason to sing. That's not all. Look at Psalm, the 59th Psalm, would you? The 59th Psalm. Would you turn there and look at one verse again here? Verse 16, the 59th Psalm. Notice what the Bible says. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Oh, man, what a blessing. What a blessing. We've got something to sing about. What? His power and his might. What a good thing to sing about. I don't know about you. I don't know how you grew up. I was a scrawny little kid. You know, you said you grew out of it. Okay, you don't have to bring that out, all right? But I was a scrawny little kid, man, and I was an introvert and had some problems and things, but I liked to get around and be around somebody that I knew could take care of me, that I had some power and some ability that I didn't have. I'm one of those guys that, you know, you see maybe a movie or show or something, and it's got this kid's being bullied, and here comes a guy along that says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And you proceed to see that guy just beat the dickens. You said, preacher, you shouldn't like that kind of stuff. Well, I get in the flesh every now and then, and I do, all right? I enjoy it, all right? Well, I tell you what, I'm so glad that in the midst of everything, I know my limitations, but I can sing of the power and the might of my God. Well, I can sing. There's a reason to sing. Look at verse 17, same chapter. Verse 17, notice what it says, unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. Why? For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So who you counting on? The government? Oh, no. Oh, no. Not counting on the government to take care of you. Who's your defense? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. He's the one. We've gone to court in times past, our church is. And we tried to get good attorney as we could come up with. But, hey, we were trusting God. We were just trusting God. Hey, he's our defense. I've got a reason to sing. Look at the 89th Psalm, would you? 89th Psalm, the first verse here. This has been turned into a chorus. We used to sing this chorus in the youth department a lot, where verse 1, Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Yeah, I should have called on that one, okay? Sorry. Hey, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Hey, that's it. With my mouth will I make known what? His mercies, his goodness, his power, his might, his defense. You say, we've got a reason to sing. We have a reason to sing. Psalm 98, if you're not satisfied yet, you hadn't come across a reason that you can sing, let's try this, all right? Psalm 98, verse 1, he says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Marvelous things. That's what he's done. He's done marvelous things. So why do you sing? All of those reasons. All of those reasons. We've got something there to sing about, all right? Go with me to Job. Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35. What a great truth, because I know how people are. I know the pessimist amongst us. There's always the lioness in the crowd that has the cloud that hovers over him all through life, okay? There's always people like that. I mean, it's like a lady that used to come to our church many years ago. I tried to never make the mistake of asking her, how you doing? You know, we do that without thinking. And most people say, oh, I'm fine. Oh, she never was fine. She had a list that long. And as soon as the words were out of my mouth, I thought, why did you say that? So I worked real hard not to ask that to her. But we're pessimists. You say, preacher, you talk about all them good things. You just don't know how bad it is. Here it is, Job chapter 35. You with me? Look at verse 10. But none saith, where is God my maker? Who giveth songs in the night? He giveth songs in the night. Hey, boy, you're going through the nighttime of sorrow and suffering. He gives a song. He gives a song. I remind you, there's two fellows in the New Testament named Paul and Silas. They were in, it was literally in the nighttime that they were in prison, been thrown in jail, put in stocks. They had been beaten, and they were there singing, woe is me. Life is tough. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. So what were they singing? I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe they were singing, there's within my heart a melody. I don't know what they were singing. But the Bible said they were singing. They were singing. And boy, they were praising the Lord. And it wasn't, you know, I'm having so much trouble and problem. Look over Psalm 30 or 77, would you? Psalm 77. I told you we were going to turn to a lot of scripture. Psalm 77. Hey, this is a thing. Hey, till the trumpet sounds, we're to keep on singing. Singing. Psalm 77, verse 1. Verse 1. The Bible said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. We ought to all jump in right there and say, amen. All right. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Wait a minute. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Oh, yeah. Hey, there's a great song that says you can have a song in the night. You can have a song in the night. You can. You can. He gives songs in the night. In those times of trouble, those times of testing, if you will, he can give you a song. He can give you a song. I remember being in the hospital, laying in the hospital bed, and before I knew it, I found myself singing. I was just, nobody was there but me, and I was having a good old time. Me and the Lord just enjoying and singing. Was it because I was happy to be in the hospital? Heavens, no. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be somewhere else. I wanted to be feeling good, or at least feeling better. But I'll tell you what, he can give songs in the night. He can give songs in the night. Call to remembrance those songs in the night. I want to ask you, do you have some? Do you have some? You say, I'm telling you, we have a reason to sing. We have a reason to sing. Look, Psalm 96. Psalms 96. Not only do we have a reason to sing, but it is a new song. A new song. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. That's it, all right? A new song. A new song. Not the old songs. the old songs of desperation, discouragement, and defeat. Oh, there's plenty of that. There's plenty of that. I started to say not the songs of the country music world, all right? But honestly, I don't really have any idea what the songs of the country music world is today, because on the few occasions when I've accidentally heard some of them singing, I couldn't understand what they were saying, all right? But I remember in days gone by, the song of the country music, man, it was bad news. It was everything. I thought, boy, that'd cheer you up, you know? That would cheer you up. Now I'm talking about popular country music, all right? It just, hey, discouragement, defeat, and you know, desperation even. No, God's given us a new song. Song takes in a better direction, all right? A lot different direction than that old song, a new song. David put it this way. Look in the 40th Psalm. Look, if you will, there in the 40th Psalm. Here's the way David put it. Very, very well-known verses. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. You remember when he did that for you? But look what he says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, a new song, a new song. That's what we ought to be singing. Why? Because God's done something. Our direction in life has changed. Our destination has changed. Our desires should have changed. Everything changed. Why? Because we got born again. We got born again. I mean, that just puts a new song in you, all right? I've got something different to sing about than I've ever had before, all right? Why? Because God did something for me. It is that new song. Can I put it to you this way? It's a song according to the Scriptures we're commanded to sing. We're commanded to sing. I don't like to sing. Well, sorry. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, would you? Just look there in the New Testament. I'll give you time to get there. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look verse 18. Verse 18. This is another song starting in the middle of the verse. We sing these verses. Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Is that not a command? And then it says, carrying right on, same sentence, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hey, that's a command from God. That is a command from God. We're to sing. You say, well, I'm not convinced. All right, go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You don't like that? Colossians chapter 3, if you will. You know, there's always hard-headed people. They've got to hear it more than once. All right? Oh, Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing. Psalms and hymns. Command from God. We're to do that. We're to do that. You say, preacher, why do we come to church? Why do we sing? Because the Bible says we ought to. The Bible says we ought to. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Okay? Psalms 100. Here, it's in the Bible. All right? It's in the Bible. And you can believe it or you can not believe it, I suppose. But it's there, Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's there for all the tone-deaf people in the world. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then it says in verse 2, all right, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Singing. Hey, that's where to come that way. Where to be, folks, that sing. We're to be folks that sing. Now, I realize that I may like to sing more than you do, because I really like to do it. I enjoy singing. And I enjoy singing in the shower, man. I have a good time. I'll find myself in the school classroom singing. And that's fine, you know. I'm having a good time. Now, occasionally in the school, I have found myself singing, "O Lord Jesus, how long? How long ere we shout that glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen." Now, you said, what was going on? Well, it wasn't good, all right? But it's singing. It's singing. We ought to do it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth." All the earth. Sing unto the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Let him sing psalms. Now, I know there's the out for some of you. Well, that's if you're merry. I'm not. Well, hey, that's why he gives songs in the night, okay? He gives songs in the night. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying we've got something to sing about. It's to be a new song, and it's something we're commanded to do. We're commanded to sing. We're commanded to sing. Not only that, we've got somebody to sing to. Somebody to sing to. I loved old cowboy movies. In the old cowboy movies, sometimes the hero sang to his horse. And probably he was better off. Those that are herding cattle would sometimes sing to the cows. Now, you know, in history, I mean, those who herded cattle, especially riding night herd, you'd sing to the cattle, keep it calm, keep it coming, so you didn't sneak up on them and they heard you all of a sudden and surprise you. So you'd sing, they would sing to the cattle. And, of course, folks have always loved to sing their girlfriend or their boyfriend, you know, or maybe their spouse, okay? That's a good thing. Some of you said, I'm sort of glad my spouse doesn't sing to me. But I'll tell you, if he's got the right spirit, it's okay. It's okay, all right? But our singing, we've got somebody to sing to. Look in Exodus chapter 15. Now, it's been in several verses we've read, but I just want you to see it's in another place, all right? Just want to see it's in other places. Exodus chapter 15, look, if you will, verse 1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And then he goes on, "The Lord's my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God." Hey, there's just a reason to sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. I try to challenge people when we come into the house of God, don't worry about how you sound. We are not here putting on a show, putting on a performance. We're not. We're here singing. And I hope when you come, you're singing to the Lord. I really do. I mean, we're not here. Listen, I'll be honest. When somebody sings a special, I don't want them putting on a show. I don't want them putting on a show. I want to be singing to the Lord, singing to Him. It's a song, by the way, that the angels cannot sing, because I'm redeemed by the blood of my Savior. Angels can't sing that song. It's a song they can't sing. And can I say to you tonight, you may be in the midst of struggles and trials and everything else. We all are going through an unusual time. But it's not time to quit singing. You got your Bible there, Psalm 104. Psalm 104. What a verse. What a verse. Psalm 104, verse 33. Verse 33, here it is. It said, "When can I quit singing? I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing unto the Lord as long as I will live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Hey, when you've still got it all together, you ought to be singing to the Lord. You ought to be singing long as you live. Long as you live. Hey, you say, "I don't like singing." Okay, there's a day coming you're going to like. Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 16. "I don't like that singing." Okay, good. There's a day coming you'll like it. Isaiah 16 and verse 10. "And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field, and in the vineyards there shall be no singing. No singing. When's that going to be, preacher? In judgment. When God opens up and pours out his judgment on this old world, there's not going to be any singing. Not going to be any singing. Listen, I don't believe there's going to be one of the things that be different during the tribulation period. I don't believe there's going to be singing like there is today. Because there's not going to be anything to sing about. Now, there'll be wailing. But there's not going to be singing, all right? There'll be a time of no singing. It's coming. But as long as you live and as long as I live, we're to sing. We're to sing as long as we live. And by the way, when you get to heaven, Revelation chapter 14, all right? Revelation chapter 14. If you're ready for this to be over, we're almost there, okay? Revelation chapter 14, would you look at verse 3? And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. There's going to be a Jewish choir like you've never heard in your life. People, they get excited about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Hang it up, man. There's going to be a song sung in that day in heaven. 144,000 of them in the choir, they're going to be singing. New song. Look in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 3. If you will, all right? It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. There's going to be singing in heaven. Amen. There's going to be singing. What a time, what a time we're going to have. You see, I don't think there's any better and easier way to praise the Lord than through singing. Amen. Than through singing. Now, the good thing about it is when we praise the Lord, you don't have to go. All right? You can just let her rip, okay? You can sing, and you ought to. Can I say this to you? Don't let the world take away your song. Don't let the world take away your song. Don't let the circumstances and the trials of life, don't let them take away your song. Hey, I'm not singing because the world's been good to me. I'm singing because God's been good. God's been so good. Hey, our song, don't let the world take it. Don't let the devil squeeze it out of you as he does his best to pressure you to sin. Don't let him do that to you. Don't let him do it to you. He's ruined so many people. And take away your song. Hey, I'll tell you this. When it's not going too good, that's when you ought to try to sing a little bit. Just sing a little bit, you know. Just start singing. You said, well, I don't know. Man, memorize some of the songs. What have you been doing all your life? Those of you who've been in church all your life, there's some songs you ought to know. If you're not real sure about them, do like a person I know, and I don't want to name the name because I have to live with them. But they change the words every now and then. And the song they're singing is the tune, but I'm not going to say it. But they it changes words. That's okay, because they're still having a good time. And what they're singing is true. It's just not the way the song was written, but that's all right. That's all right. Hey, keep singing. Keep singing. The world takes that away from us, all right? The world takes that away from us. I'm so glad Paul and Silas, thrown in that jail that night, did not let what had happened to them take away their song. No. Can you imagine the testimony it was to those other prisoners? Can you imagine the testimony to them? Hey, they knew what went on. Word gets out. They knew why Paul and Silas were there. They probably, a bunch of them saw them brought in. They saw them bloody. They had been beaten. They knew what had happened. And then at midnight, they hear these guys singing. Singing. Oh, what a testimony it is. God's people ought to sing. Till the trumpet sounds, keep on singing. Keep on singing. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you to help us tonight. Lord, you say so much in the Word of God about singing. We just kind of touched the hem of the garment a little bit tonight. But Lord, there's so much there. We are commanded to sing. But Lord, the truth of the matter is, we ought not have to be told to sing. We ought to want to do it, and it ought to come bubbling out because of the joy of the Lord that's in us. Lord, help us to be people that sing. Lord, maybe somebody tonight, the old devil's worked on them, and it's been a tough week. Maybe they're looking for some things in the next week, and they know it's going to be difficult. And the world would like to take that song away. Lord, help them not to do it. Help them not to let that happen. Lord, help us to keep singing till the trumpet sounds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.